we'd like to welcome to the show Carrie Hosier, who is a candidate for one of our open school board seats here in Baldwin County. Daphne 2, I think, Carrie?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good to have you. You know, wanted to invite you on and give you an introduction to our listeners who have not met you yet, and just kind of get to know you. Primaries are coming up soon.
They sure are.
So what are we, 5 weeks away, 6 weeks away? March 5th.
Counting it down.
Yeah. So, Carrie, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Carrie Hosier. I am currently the People's Candidate of Daphne for the Baldwin County School Board District 2. I would represent all of Daphne there. A little bit about me is that I have experience professionally with the taxpayer dollars, with our Alabama Department of Revenue, following those policies and guidelines, and also with property taxes in Mobile County. And so I'm very familiar with some of those things that we see here with our schools, and just saw some things, you know, going on that I just wanted to look into with that. And so I'm very familiar with following policies and procedures in regard to our local and our state issues there. And so also I am a mother. I have a second grader, and that is my pride and joy. And so this also prompted me to get involved with this because we have some of our own personal experiences. And then a lot of times people don't know this about me, but I'm bringing a different side to the table. I am a, quote, retired athlete, if you will. I did play sports all through middle school, high school, and I did play collegiately and played intramurals, and I'm a very competitive girl.
Which sport?
I played softball and intramural basketball, racquetball. High school, I played basketball, volleyball, soccer. I mean, you name it all, I can give it a shot. So I'm really looking forward to the opportunity. I am very competitive, and I really just have that determination to see something, and I'm just going to stand in that place. So I'm really glad to be here.
Well, it's thank you for that. So great introduction, Carrie. What compelled you to throw your name in the hat, or, you know, your hat in the ring, and declare for the Baldwin, just, you know, seat two? What, I'm just curious.
Yeah, there's actually a myriad of factors here. I guess I would say starting about 5 years ago, my son, he is eight now, and so he actually went through the Baldwin County system as preschool. So when he was as young as three, we started there, and I got to really experience the system for myself. And during those period, that time, we had to seek out resources, and I had to really be an advocate for him to get his needs met. And so I really got to see some things on a different side that most people don't, and had to work with our teachers and principals and our outside staff that were helping there. And so I really, that's a major factor, is because I see a need there, and I see that sometimes parents aren't necessarily heard in that area, and I know that that's a necessity. And then also there was a lot of things that I saw going through there from pre-K 3 through first grade that just didn't align with our family morals and values, and I just had a lot of questions. And so it seemed like when I started asking those questions, we would either be stopped or it just wasn't receptive. And then also going back to our COVID situation, I watched all the school board meetings live when I was not able to attend, which I did not because I had a young kid, and I'm also working full time. So when I was watching those, I really didn't appreciate how our board just spoke to the parents during that season of life. And I understand that's like a hard time for everyone, and I just really didn't see the compassion, I guess I would say, and just someone that could relate to the parents. You know, it just seemed really lopsided, and I really want to be the person that is available for these people and these constituents and parents and guardians, because we have a lot of people who, not just parents, but grandparents now are getting involved. And so I think somebody needs to represent the parents also. So that's really what kind of got me in there. And then starting this summer, I just kind of started looking into it more, and I felt a push from the Lord and just said, you know what, let's do it. And here I am.
Yep. Well, I certainly know a lot of that of which you speak, because, you know, as our listeners are familiar with, you know, Dr. Liu and myself were heavily engaged with the Baldwin County Board of Education all throughout 2021, but especially the latter half, just on the COVID lunacy and the mass mandates, and then, you know, the looming vaccine mandates, which actually never happened for students, and they didn't mandate it fully, you know, for the or officially for the teachers and staff. They only They only brought the vaccine clinics into the schools and gave them the poison that way, you know, and through the teachers' union, you know, kind of twisted arms or, you know, leaned on people to get them in there and get vaxxed. And, you know, there were real consequences, you know, and repercussions from that. And when you talk about, you know, the board sitting up on that dais and talking down to people, you know, I was one of those parents that they were, you know, that they were talking down their nose to. And I definitely did not appreciate that. You know, your competitor, Andrea Lindsay, was one of the worst. And, you know, and those videos are still up for any of y'all who want to go watch those. But, you know, as condescending and as dismissive and as disrespectful as certainly anybody has ever spoken to me and shall never again. And so, you know, we were actually able to get the board finally after about 6 months to acknowledge that no, they weren't going to require, you know, our children to be vaccinated. It's not really their call anyway, you know, but there was an awful lot of backhandedness and you know, and again, you know, they've got a challenging job, but what is extremely prominent in all of my interactions with them, and I think Dr. Liu and others would echo this remark, is that they are opaque. They are not transparent. They do not believe that they serve the taxpayer. They think we work for them, and you know, and that has to change. And so, you know, we were successful last election cycle in removing Janae Dawson, who was a big part of the problem, and you know, and then Shannon Cawley bowed out and did not run. She took the gavel from Janae and was in the seat for, I guess, another 6 or 9 months. But, you know, but she's back as a high-paid consultant, you know, for the board. And a lot of people don't know that, right? And so there's this revolving door, and Shannon Cawley is a prime example of this. You know, John Gray is another, you know, on the consulting side, you know, and you cannot get to the board without going through John Gray or, you know, Miss Young, his assistant. And it is, you know, it's not meant to serve the people. You know, one of the big complaints we hear from parents is that, you know, the board purposely convenes probably 95% of their meetings, you know, their official meetings, their monthly proceedings, up in Bay Minette, and that is to, you know, discourage attendance and discourage parents bringing issues, you know, before the board. And, you know, they, you know, during election year, of course, they just now had a meeting over at the Loxley satellite office, you know, but mm-hmm. How often do they do that? Not often enough. And so one of the you know, with the change in you know, seat one and you know, the changes that came in the last election cycle, and hopefully this one here, we get to see, you know, the board more responsive to the people that they're supposed to serve.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, there's just a lot going on behind the scenes that I'm learning and figuring mm-hmm. out as I go. And it's very concerning to me because, like you just said, you know, there seems to be multiple hurdles before you can even get your voice heard and that you can even get to the source of the problem. And, you know, for me, that's alarming because as a candidate here, you know, there are situations that I've already encountered where there's a lot of this backdoor behind the scenes whisper campaign against me and trying to tell people not to support me in different avenues and arenas for what? I don't know why. It just doesn't make sense to me why someone who is, you know, employed by the school board or who, you know, has a position that represents the board could do such a thing. And what is there behind that? You know, that is very concerning to me because as someone coming in, I'm not a politician. I'm a mom, you know, mm-hmm. and it's the same situation. I just want to do and contribute the best that I can to these people in Daphne because I feel like that we deserve that. Respect's not hard to give. It's really not. You just have to want to do it.
That's
and
right.
So that's just one reason that I don't understand. And I just need to ask questions. And I think that's one thing that I would love to bring to the table. I'm not so sure everyone would love that, but I would love that because I have a lot of questions and I don't mind standing up. And if I'm the only one that has a question, that's not an issue for me. I've played sports. I know what it takes. You have to do what's right. You have to follow the rules, obey. But at the same time, too, you have to understand you're working with a group and team of people, and you're not always going to agree. So not one person runs the show. It's got to be a team effort in that. And so I think until we get to that point, it's going to be very difficult to have these parents heard.
Well, I agree. And it's it should be so simple, right? It should be.
It seems like it.
It should be. But no, And, you know, the other thing that a lot of folks lose sight of is that Baldwin County is the third largest school system in the state of Alabama and growing. You know, like soon we may be second if we're not already. You know, now that's that changes because, of course, Orange Beach and Gulf Shores have withdrawn over the last 4 or 5 years. But it's interesting when we look at just the size and the scale of the system, you know, and the number of students that are served, 32,000. And, you know, and then they've got, you know, thousands of teachers and staff, of course. But the budget, just the sheer budget, you know, people, I think people often they don't understand or really it's not in the fore of their mind, you know, Carrie, that just the very large money.
Yeah.
That, you know, so who, let me ask this, who is the number one employer in Baldwin County? Baldwin County Board of Education.
Yeah, they get a lot of money, $737 million.
Steve. That's right. But they are the number one employer in this county. A lot of people don't know that. They would have thought, you know, the hospital systems or Airbus or, you know, something like that. But it's unbelievable when you look at just the sheer number of dollars that come into this. And one of the thing that really that really kind of set us back when we started peeling the onion on COVID funds that came into the Baldwin County, you know, coffers, you know, it was unbelievable what the Board of Education was getting in federal funds just for implementing certain COVID prescriptions. You know, it was tens of millions of dollars, and you still can't get them to give you, you know, an accurate number and make a public statement about just how much money they got from the federal coffers. The federal government, through the CARES Act of March 2020, it's the classic carrot and stick method in federal funding, and especially with schools, especially with education. They will encourage, they can't mandate certain things, but they will encourage certain behaviors or practices by attaching dollars to it. And so what we saw was for any, you know, for the number of schools and students that they could put masks on, or that they could, you know, show distance learning, you know, that they would receive X number of dollars for each one of those, you know, and you can't call them mandates, but prescriptions, federal prescriptions, you know, just right, through the CARES Act.
Yeah, so, I mean, last time I checked, I think it was for 2023, it looks like Alabama had received around $29 million in mental health grants just alone also. So you have this factor come in of putting these mental and social emotional burdens on these children who are vulnerable, and mm-hmm. they are not capable of carrying this load. And so that also, when you're talking about the budget there, and if you've looked at it, it's very broad. So when you start asking more questions and trying to get down into it, can we break this down, you know, and you even look at the price or the amount of tax dollars and that goes into each student, and it's still an enormous amount of money. You know, I've spoken to other schools in this area and other private schools, and they're not spending that kind of money. Mm-hmm. So I just would like to know, where is our money going? We are paying money into this system, and we are not getting an investment on our education return. And so it's just, it's a big topic, but nobody wants to ask questions and talk about it. It seems that it's a fear topic or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Well, it's interesting. I'm not sure if you've met Rebecca Watson over at Moms for Liberty, but, you know, they are taking on, you know, issues one by one and doing open records requests and that types of, you know, of, you know, showing up at school board meetings, that kind of thing, the things that should be happening. Right. And it's just very interesting that we continue to see intransigence and opaqueness and unwilling to share and dragging feet. You know, it's like this contentious relationship always. And you know, that was that's been my impression, whether we would be talking about core, you know, Common Core, you know, as a standard that should be completely, you know, done away with.
Yeah.
You know, that's a UN standard, UN 2030 goals, you know, but they, they get so defensive, Carrie.
It
you know,
is.
They just will not talk to people.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what's behind the curtain, because if you're right. getting so defensive and you are in someone, and especially a parent who has a student in the Baldwin County school system is asking you, and you're receiving federal money, you know, for these programs that are being implemented, it's our curriculum, it's our guides, it's our right to see that as parents. Mm-hmm. And not only just the counseling, but, you know, you have to give praise where praise is due. You know, they did allow a group of parents to come in and check the library books, but who's to say that's going to stop? And if you're transparent on one issue, why not the rest? So it really is a two-sided coin on that, because mm-hmm. you never know when you flip what you're going to get.
Well, what's interesting with this whole wokeness thing, you know, that we've been fighting for the last number of years, but especially intensely over the last 3 years, and, you know, you mentioned the library books. That's really it's crazy, because the real problems, and, you know, if you ask anybody who has been watching the Baldwin County School Board and you know, the Alabama Department of Education, and just it's structural. You know, we've got real structural problems in the state of Alabama, and, you know, they're terrified of parents advocating for school choice, and yet they just keep up with the opaqueness and the lack of transparency,
which has come in this legislation cycle, this session. So they better, you know, keep your eyes open.
Well, it's interesting too, because you know, I won't digress here, other than to say that, you know, right here in Baldwin County, one of the things that Eddie Tyler, you know, and the school board are particularly concerned with is, you know, the Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, you know, two of their largest tax bases, you know, for tax submissions to the school board, you know, withdrew from the Baldwin County system over the last several years, and they are really terrified that more parents and more, you know, community leaders are going to take ownership of the education of their young people and you know, do it local, you know, yeah. just like Mayor Tony Kennan is down in Orange Beach, and, you know, Gulf Shores, same thing. And, you know, now, you know, again, that gets into the whole tax equation and the business of that, right? And there is a quality of education. And so when you get into some of these smaller districts, you know, in Baldwin County, clearly they don't have the tax base, you know, to be able to go it alone.
Right.
But it's just interesting, as we continue to advance school choice and the discussion around that, how absolutely defensive, you know, Eddie Tyler, you know, gets about that. And, you know, instead of looking at why and addressing those concerns, and a lot of what is driving it is the wokeness. You know, it's yeah. the things that we are finding in the curriculum
right.
in Baldwin County schools. I mean, it's, you know, it was when my children brought home pictures from, you know, Fairhope East Elementary back in December of 2020, when they had banned parents from going behind the wall and being connected to our children's education. Okay. They had our students working on exhibits called My New American Flag.
Wow.
My New American Flag, showing sacrilege to the United States flag. And, you know, and not just a little bit, these were fourth graders, and, you know, 60 or 70, you know, exhibits up on the wall where they had been encouraged and nurtured, you know, to, you know, take artist license, you know, with one of our most sacred symbols of identity, national identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it, where do you stand on, the issue of, you know, of the wokeness and just the cancer that represents? And we're finding it in the curriculum, we're finding it in the counseling guidance, we're finding it, you know, in the, you know, like in this, you know, My New American Flag exhibit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, where do you stand on that, Ms. Hosier?
I mean, I'm a true patriot. You know, I'm for United States of America. I've never been in the military, but I don't think that requires you to be a patriot and to stand for your country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all have rights here in the country. I totally understand, you know, people's concerns, and I have deep compassion for everyone. I've experienced a lot of things in my life. I've been around many groups of people, and I have always been able to relate to them on some kind of level, and we can find some mutual respect to agree to disagree or what. But as far as on the scale with that, you know, there are certain pledges and there are certain organizations that I've already signed that how I would vote on the school board. You know, I would vote to protect parental rights. I would vote to put the kids first. I would vote to do what's in the best interest of the children and not for a person. Or, you know, we have to understand, as a board member, you are not a personal representative to a person. You are a public official. You're an elected official to serve the public. They put you there, and you have to be willing and able to listen to them on that. So I am not for the woke. I am not for that. I am a traditional curriculum type of gal. I think we need to get back to the basics, and why can we not learn cursive? Why can we not learn normal math? Why can we not just do things that worked in the past? You know, with all this money coming in, and since COVID especially, it really got parents' attention when they brought home their Chromebooks and they got to see what was going on in the curriculum.
Or what was not going on.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when you leave that Wi-Fi, it's all fair game. And, you know, when you leave a Chromebook to a kindergarten or elementary school age kid, they're going to roam. And you start finding out some of the stuff that was actually downloaded on the Chromebook from the school system. You know, there's that Sora app now mm-hmm. that you can download straight to the Chromebook. And it doesn't matter what grade that you're in. And it just downloads. If your child can't read, it's an audiobook. Kindergarten through 12, they have access to the same material. I think since then, they've kind of cut that down on elementary. But back then, that wasn't like that. So there's just a lot of things. It just makes you, I don't stand for that. You know, I just want, I love God. God is my number one in my life. My child, you know, he's my number two. And so then comes all of this. So I think you got to keep your priorities in line. And I will consider that on every decision that I make. So that's where I stand.
Mm. Okay. So you have been, one of the reasons why we, you know, we're interested in having you on the show is because you've been attacked pretty aggressively by the opposition.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where it's coming from, but it's I have my speculations.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, you drive around and we've seen, you know, some of your signs vandalized up in Daphne. You know, I'm up there.
Or taken.
Or yeah, that's right.
Multiple taken, yeah, actually.
Definitely see that. And then it was interesting over at the at GOP executive committee on Saturday that the chair, was it the chair, I think, got up and you know, admonished, you know, all in attendance that, you know, hey, we shouldn't be ripping down, you know, other candidate signs, you know.
Yeah, it was one of the executive committee members, I believe.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's just...
You shouldn't have to do that to your own party, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting.
That just doesn't make sense.
Well, and then, you know, we look over our shoulder and who's getting up and walking out, you know, right as he's speaking, but your opposition, you know...
Did we strike a nerve?
Right. And so it's unbelievable to me, you know, that, you know, they're very concerned about something. And this is what I think, you know, I won't, you know, wax on here too long, folks. But, you know, Eddie Tyler knows that the board is shifting, the makeup of the board is shifting under his feet. You know, he knows that he serves at the pleasure of the board. And it's very interesting is that, you know, when he had Janae Dawson in place and Shannon Cawley and a couple other people, that, you know, that his position was very secure as long as he kept them happy. And, you know, and we want to be clear, you know, Eddie Tyler has done a good job, you know, and he has a heart of service. We know this.
Yeah,
okay.
He does.
But he has been in that role for a long time.
Well, you know, that role is also not an elected position. That's an appointment.
That's what we say. He serves at the pleasure of the
right.
board. And so with the board shifting, it's very what we see is that Andrea Lindsay is his last, you know, in that seat two, and Daphne is really his last true grip on his superintendent, you know, position. If he can't control the vote in that seat with Andrea Lindsay, then his very position, his very high paid position, okay, and he had just gotten another raise a couple of years ago coming out of COVID, and, you know, now, I mean, it's a lot of money, you know. He's up at 350, or
I think it's 275.
Is it 275? I was thinking he was a little bit more than that, but it's a lot of money. And when you look at the amount of influence, we talked about the budget, you know, $750 million a year.
That's
okay?
A lot of money.
It's a ton of money. And just thinking about all the contracts and all that and everything, it's a lot of power. It's a
yeah.
lot of influence. And so there are, besides vested interest, you know, you also have the superintendent who is very likely feeling the heat, feeling the pressure. He knows that a large part of the electorate is extremely not happy with him over the decisions that they made during COVID, you know, the special session that we called with them August 21st of 2021 over masking over at the Loxley Satellite Campus. You know, they trotted in, you know, doctors in lab coats and you know, let them speak ad nauseum with zero facts, only emotion, zero facts, fear-mongering the public, okay? And we got up and we presented fact after fact after fact after fact after fact, and that board still voted with one abstention, still voted, including Cecil Christenberry here in Fairhope, and Andrea Lindsay out of Daphne voted to mask our children with zero evidence that masks work, and we now know that they don't. I mean, study after study after study after study, you know, and we and not only that, we understand that it was all political sham anyway, you know, led by the CDC and Rochelle Walensky. And you know, so it was just a game of kabuki theater and charades that our children were caught up in. Our you know, 32,000 right. innocent children right here in Baldwin County caught up in a game of politics.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's kind of alarming to me, too, because, you know, as a mom, I'm an involved parent. And I know that you probably are the same with your children. And so if you're not involved and you're doing the best that you can, I have compassion for you, because some people like me, a single mom, you send your kids to school and you expect and you just assume that your school is taking care of your children during the day. They're doing the best that they can there and you're doing your best. But then, you know, when you see things like this happen, it's like, okay, let me take a step back and let's look at it. And, you know, you brought up the voting record. And, you know, that's one thing. Like, I'm not a character bashing person. I'm just going to stick to the guns and the policy, you know, of my campaign. And I'm not trying to go outside of that. You know, I've strictly stayed on task and put my blinders on and just kept doing what I felt like I need to do. But when you look back at the voting record, it takes a lot of effort. If you haven't been following up with the school board, you know, there's been a lot of people, including, you know, my opposition, that has voted yes to everything. Mm-hmm. I have not seen a no. And so, you know, that is also concerning to me. And if you don't have any questions, you know, and I just think with all of these things coming down, and this is a big election year, who's to say what's coming up in the future? And so I went ahead and signed those pledges and said, I stand for this. I will stand to let the parents choose what's best for you and your mm-hmm. children. You know, I don't believe that the education system chooses what's best for your kids. You know, they're there to educate. And there's all of this extra outside influence and distraction. And it's no wonder that our proficiency levels are so low. They're so distracted all day long besides their common group of education that they're supposed to be receiving. And so I think that in the grand scheme of it all, you put the kids first, you put their needs in front of you, and you have people that are genuinely trying to make decisions for them, for the kids, not for yourself, not for, you know, I heard something at one of those school board meetings that I was watching these live, and they said collectively, or someone was speaking on behalf of the board, saying that, you know, we have to withdraw ourselves from this decision and do what's best for all of these kids. Well, I don't agree with that statement, because you should actually be voting on your belief system. That's what you're bringing to the table as a board member, right? So you all aren't going to have the same agreeing points and decisions. And so if you're changing your beliefs based on what's best for someone else, then are you really holding true to your values? You know, and I think that people need to know what they're getting when they're signing up for this. And that's what you're getting with me, is saying, hey, mm-hmm. you know, I'll support you as a parent. I will let you choose. And so I really didn't like that statement either, because then you have these people making decisions for your kids who can't even make decisions for themselves, you
right.
know?
Well, and so, and Carrie, I mean, it's an excellent point. And, you know, I'm heartened to hear a candidate say this, okay, because what we see in, like you said, time and again, vote after vote, is a complete lack of conviction. You know, Cecil Christenberry comes up to me after he votes to mask our kids again in 2021, and you know, and I'm like, did you really vote for that? You know, and he's like, oh, yep, sure did. You know, and I mean, you know, we're like, what were you thinking? What evidence do you have? And he couldn't answer that question. And so I want to be very, very clear that, you know, you're absolutely right. And parents nationwide and statewide are turning out and voting, and they're turning out these crooked board members or these people who lack a moral compass, you know, who won't stand up and do the right thing for these kids. And not only that, I mean, it's so very clear. You know, look at the voting record, especially through COVID. Look at the voting record and look at what these people did to our kids. They yeah. all need to go. Yeah. They all need to go. Now, like I said, about half of them have. Mike Johnson is riding off in the sunset, okay? Shannon Cawley, even though she's still slinking around as a high-paid, you know, consultant, you know, she's no longer sitting on the board, but she does have influence. You know, but the bottom line is that we do need fresh blood, and we do need people with conviction. And
well, I have a lot of energy, so I think we're hitting the right ball game here.
Well, so let's talk about something else too. So, you know, what do you think sets you apart from Andrea Lindsay, your competition?
Well, I would say we have different beliefs on just different aspects about education, and I'm not a retired teacher, and I did actually want to be a teacher at one point in my life, and I took all the exams.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that Andrea Lindsay is a Republican?
Based on factual evidence of voting and from hearing from other taxpayers, I have questions.
Well, as do I. And it's very interesting that when we, you know, when we go out and we talk to people who have known her for years, that she is alleged and reported to have voted for Barack Obama, supported Hillary Clinton. You talk to the Republican women around Baldwin County, and Andrea Lindsay only ever shows up a month or two before elections. That's the only time they ever see her.
Well, Deke, I've been going to these meetings with the Republican women and all of these different groups since last summer, and I have not seen, you know, her or others at other of the women's Republicans groups. There's been one that I did, but the rest, you know, I just have questions because, like, I wanted to get involved and learn more. And so if you're supporting these people and you're making decisions for these constituents in these areas, of course you should make yourself known and you should let them know how you believe and you should show out, you know, when it's time. But also, it also tells me consistency. You know, if you're showing up, and this goes for anybody, if you're showing up, you know, only to games and you don't want to go practice, there's a problem with that. You usually sit the bench. Unfortunately, in this situation, we don't get that
right.
You know, that idea.
No,
but,
not at all.
You know, I just think we need to put the work in and we really need to do our research. And that's what I would, you know, advise all of the listeners is just to go behind the scenes and do some digging, do your own research, find out, you know, policies and stances on certain issues and really go on that. And I think when you do that, you'll make the right decision. It really doesn't come down to a person issue. It's just a character issue and it's just who you are. And, you know, we've done a lot of walk the walk and talk the talk, but it's time for action right now. I think everybody needs to get involved at some way, some level, and start showing up to these meetings and start speaking out a little bit. And, you know, if nobody wants to do that, I'm your girl. Just come and support me and I'll help you, you know, be that person.
Well, there you have it, folks. So, Carrie Hosier, thank you so much for joining us here on Conservative Watchdog Weekly. Values matter.
They do, absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, Carrie, how can our listeners support you, learn more about you, get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I have a website, www.carriehosierforschoolboard.com. And
Carrie Hosier for schoolboard.com. And that's
H-O-S-I-E-R. Yeah, I can spell it.
And okay. Carrie with a C.
Yeah, Carrie. C-A-R-R-I-E, Hosier, H-O-S-I-E-R. I know it sounds weird, but
no,
it's just what it is.
Well, we have to spell things for folks, right? So yeah. Carrie Hosier for schoolboard.com.
Yes, and on there will be an option where you can click the Facebook link or the Instagram to follow me on social media. And I do have available other contact information at the bottom of the page, or you may send me a message straight from the website that comes to my team.
And you're running for Baldwin County School Board District 2,
yes,
which
Baldwin
is Gaffney.
County.
However, it's a countywide vote. We all, if we live in Fairhope, we still vote for you as well in the Daphne. Is that correct?
No. So how it works in the primary is that you have to live in Daphne to vote for the Daphne representative on the ballot. But after the primary, then, and you're elected onto the board, then you will have one vote for Daphne to go across the board for the entire county.
Okay.
So although I'll only be representing Daphne on the ballot, overall, I will be a candidate for the Baldwin County Board of Education.
Very
one of
good.
Seven seats.
Very in the good. General election.
In the general election.
That's right. Okay. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us, and so good to meet you and get to know a little bit more about you.
The Conservative Watchdog Show is brought to you by Nichols Real Estate, your coastal Alabama real estate experts since 1976. Locally owned and operated in Daphne by the Nichols family. Over 45 years brings much experience and expertise in any industry, but in real estate, it's invaluable. Experience, understanding of the local market, and savvy. Get to know the Nichols family and their agents at Nichols Real Estate, 6351 Monroe Street in Daphne. Call 626-2030, 626-2030. Nichols Real Estate, your coastal Alabama real estate experts since 1976.
All right, folks. So great interview there with candidate Carrie Hosier, who's running for Baldwin County Board of Education, seat 2 out of Daphne. Just want to thank her, and it was also good to see her at the Meet the Candidate on Wednesday night ahead of the debate, and had a lot of traffic over there in her area, so clearly her message is getting through. Okay, folks, in addition to just, again, wanted to extend our deepest thanks to Kathy Morlock and the Baldwin GOP, XCOM, Paula Summerall, and others, you know, who did such a fantastic job putting the debate together, actually getting both candidates, you know, lined up on their schedules and supporting them as they attended. Just wanted to say thanks again from a grateful public. Coming up, folks, we have, let's see, tentatively, February 23rd, our much-anticipated visit with Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan. That's going to be a good one. And then at some point, we'll also have Congressman Barry Moore joining us ahead of Super Tuesday. Organizing opportunities, if you're interested, we've got a really special guest joining us here in Baldwin tomorrow. Congressman Jim Jordan will be in town, head of the Judiciary Committee. He will be joining Congressman Moore over at the Never Stop Fighting America First Rally being held at Water's Edge, 24120 Fountain Street in Robertsdale. Doors open at 2:30 p.m. Okay, GOP Think Tank at Mama Lou's coming up on Saturday, February 3rd. That's next Saturday. And then Eastern Shore Republican Women will meet Tuesday, February 8th at 11:30 at Fairhope Yacht Club. Moms for Liberty, let's see, they are scheduled for Tuesday, February 20th at First Fairhope Church with special guest speaker Congressman Barry Moore. Christian College Fair will be held at Fairhope Civic Center on Thursday, February 22nd from 10 in the morning until 5 p.m. 161 North Section Street. Food trucks will be available from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Point Clear Republican Women meet Tuesday, February 27th at 5 p.m. at Oak Hollow in Fairhope. And then earlier that day, the South Baldwin women will meet over at the Gift Horse in Foley at 11 a.m. Okay, folks, for homework, we talk about culture wars and you know, as the debate heats up here in election year, please return and watch or complete that documentary on Jennifer Bylick on YouTube and Rumble, which greatly clarifies the fog of war on the LGBTQ issues and the problem with the wokeism, or at least the heart of a lot of the wokeism that we find ourselves battling against here in Baldwin County. Okay, folks, it's been a great show, another great show. We thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing y'all back here again next week, same time. Lori?
Thank you so much, Deke Cox. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review. It is brought to you by Nichols Real Estate, your coastal Alabama real estate experts since 1976, and an anonymous donor. Your host is retired U.S. Naval Intelligence Officer Deke Cox. The opinions and views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or management. If you'd like to tell a friend or hear the show later, it will be posted at WABF1480.com. Now resuming regular programming.